changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I want to go ahead and introduce my guest to you this morning. As I shared with you, we are beginning a series. Yesterday was our first one. I did an interview yesterday with Steve Hughes. It was really interesting, really inspiring, and that's my goal. We have about a half hour here every morning. And the way this came about is I have a guy named John Gatimu who has worked with me for 9 years. And John is responsible for looking for speaking opportunities for me. And in the process, he comes across people who are speakers themselves and who have very interesting stories, such as the person I'm going to be speaking with today. And that is how we came to meet our guest today. Her name is Nikki Bush. She's an award-winning speaker, best-selling author of 4 books, a media personality. She specializes in empowering senior leaders and their teams to reframe disruption. Everything feels disrupted right now, doesn't it? Of any kind, she helps them to regain perspective, empowering them to reinvent themselves, to continue to win at work, home, and life. She's an award-winning Hall of Fame speaker, holds the CSP designation, that's Certified Speaking Professional by the National Speakers Association. Future Proof for Yourself, her book on dancing with disruption, was published in 2017 by my publisher as well, Penguin Random House. This is her 4th book. She has fielded over 3,000 media interviews and has weekly slots on Prime TV and shows in South Africa. I'm going to put her URL in the chat box, and I'm going to bring her on live with me now. Nikki, welcome.
Good morning, Will.
How are you?
I'm fabulous, thank you. Coming from hot and sunny Johannesburg, South Africa.
That's what I was going to ask you about, was where you are right now. Before we jump in, I'm going to take a side note, and that is that everyone watching needs to watch the movie Blood Diamond on Netflix. It will give you a perspective on the African continent and how... Just watch it. It was excellent. I watched it on the plane the other night, and it was very compelling. Speaking of compelling, you have a story that something happened to you a few years ago, and it's, I would imagine, a major part of your life and your purpose. Would you be willing to share that with us?
Sure, Will. So yes, you know, we mentioned that I'm coming from South Africa, and this is a magnificent, beautiful, but unpredictable country. And in November 2017, we suffered from an armed home invasion in Johannesburg, and my husband took a single shot to the heart, and he was murdered. So this is what I call a what if moment. It's kind of your worst nightmare come true. And it's the thing you hope will never, ever happen. And it did. And in 6 short minutes, my life was changed forever. It was exactly 6 minutes from the time the intruders entered our home to the time they left. And I guess 1,000 moments that I took for granted, mostly because I assumed there would be 1,000 more. And my husband and I had been together for 28 years, married for 26 years, lived in the same home for 23 years. We were definitely Mr. and Mrs. Consistency. And we have 2 gorgeous young men, sons who are currently now 26 and 22 years of age, but at the time were 18 and 22. My youngest son was home at the time, fast asleep in bed. My youngest son at 22 was still out partying at 3 o'clock in the morning, as one does. So, yep, that's what happened to us, and it changed everything forever. And I guess sometimes, Will, life sends us life tremors, warnings, and sometimes we are sent life quakes. And those life quakes have the potential to bury us as victims or to break us open and plant us like a seed. And what I have discovered on my journey with trauma, grief, and loss is that is a choice.
I love the concept of life quakes and the unpredictability of a life quake. We seem to go through our lives in fear of what if this, what if that. And then all of a sudden the universe goes, I don't know why you were worried about that. Here's something that is far more significant. So, well, first of all, my sympathies to you and my celebration of you for how you have not only moved through this, but allowed this to move you forward to help other people. How normal is change and disruption, in your opinion?
Well, I think the global pandemic has really brought this message home to roost that we're not as in control as we thought we were. And change can happen by choice, it can happen by chance, or by crisis or calamity. In my case, what I've just described to you, this was definitely a crisis, certainly something I didn't invite in. I didn't expect at the age of 50, the year I turned 50, that I would become a widow, a single mother, and a sole breadwinner. Everybody on the planet has experienced the global pandemic, which has been an external disruption that we didn't invite in, that is an unwelcome visitor. And everybody has experienced the loss of control. And so this thing of control, as human beings, we really want to feel as in control as we can be. But actually, the only thing we do control is our choice and our attitude in each and every moment. And I guess, this connects with your purpose of a complaint-free world, that we have to take control in the moment of what we can and let go of the rest. So disruption can be positive, can be brought about by positive events and by negative events. I've described some negatives like the pandemic and my husband's murder, but let's look at some of the positives because I really do believe that change happens all the time. In fact, we go through about 60 transitions in a lifetime. Think about meeting somebody, falling in love, and getting married. The most beautiful thing to happen, but it is actually change and disruption. Becoming a parent turns your life upside down forever. I don't think anybody who becomes a parent ever anticipates quite how disruptive that choice is going to be. When you take on a new job, even if it's just moving divisions within the same company, or what if you move town or country? There's a lot of semigration today with the pandemic having taught people that they can do work from home. And so all of this brings about a need to adjust and adapt. And interestingly, whether it's a positive change by choice or a negative change by crisis or calamity, we actually go through the same 7 stages of adjustment and transition to this new place where we find ourselves because we've never been here before. None of us have ever been here before. And so we need to use the power of looking backwards, reflection, as well as perspective to find our way forward in this new normal.
60 transitions in a lifetime. And I would presume that's over an entire lifetime, but more importantly, that includes both positive and negative. Is that right?
Positive and negative. Everything.
Okay, such as moving to a new city you're excited about, et cetera. That's a major disruption. And we go through the 7 stages as if our spouse leaves us or whatever. Is that right?
Yes, so a divorce, a death, a dread disease diagnosis, the loss of your health, the loss of your wealth, the loss of your home, the loss of your relationship. There's so much. I mean, if you think about those 60 transitions, it includes things like getting your driver's license for the first time, purchasing a new car, purchasing your first home, all of these are transitions that bring with them a need to change our behavior, to change our choices, to make different or new choices. And so we need to empower ourselves. But I think the important thing to remember when it comes to disruption and those seven stages of adjustment and transition is that we're going through a process. It's not just an event. So a wedding would be an event, but the marriage would be the process over time.
That is, I'm sorry, I want you to, let's take a breath with that, because that's a very important distinction, is that we think that we're going through, did you say an event?
Like an event,
wedding,
yes.
Wedding, okay.
But actually, the birth of a child.
The birth of a child, but it's a process.
On the day.
Right, it's a process because it is indeed a disruption to our lives. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And so.
And we don't embrace the process fully.
Exactly.
Is that right? Okay.
And life is a process of becoming and evolving and becoming more than you were the day before. And so with every kind of event we go through, positive or negative, we need to ask ourselves reflectively, how have I grown from this? What have I learned from this? And then it gives whatever's happened to you purpose and meaning. And so to briefly look at those seven stages in the process, we go through immobilization initially, where we're quite shocked. And if we just relate that to COVID and the global pandemic, and we were told we were going to be locked down, we all went, what? You've got to be kidding. No. And then you go through minimization, where you've got to minimize the threat. So you compare the threat you're under to something else. And in my case, during tight lockdown, when we couldn't walk outside our homes, this was in about week 5, I walked up and down my backyard 20 paces this way, 20 paces that way, going, and I was having a down moment. If Nelson Mandela could come out of 27 years of incarceration and do what he did, surely I can make a plan. So you can see how we compare against something else so that we can manage it better. Then we go into depression. Even if you take on a new job for all the right reasons, you will have a bit of depression those first couple of weeks because it's unfamiliar territory. And you might be feeling a little unconfident, maybe incompetent, and you don't know the people, the processes, and you've got to adjust and adapt and learn. So it's a rediscovery of self in this new place, whether it's because you've become a widow or a widower, or you've taken on a new job, or you've become a new parent, whatever it is, it's embracing this new place. And so we get to the fourth stage, which is acceptance of your new reality. And that means you discover that there's only one way forward, and that's forward and not backwards. And that's an important place to get to, acceptance. And from acceptance, you start testing your new reality. Well, now there are three of us, not two of us, and testing that new reality. Or now in my situation, where I lost my husband, we also lost our home in the process because my youngest son could never sleep in our home again, having been held at gunpoint and thrown down next to his dad's body. And so our home of 23 years disappeared as well. And that took a lot of adjusting to, you know, so much was unfamiliar. In fact, we felt like refugees in our own lives. So you start testing your new reality. And from the testing of your new reality, you move to finding meaning and then internalizing this new reality. And I can tell you that 4 years on, having been through the first 2 years after my husband's death, of course, you know, was sheer hell, because my entire emotional life and my physical life had imploded without permission. And I love to be in control, like most of our listeners and viewers love to be in control. So, you know, it's that the fallout also gives you the opportunity to perhaps see life differently. And this is the important part of disruption, is that internalization of that new reality, where you get to a stage like I am 4 years down the line, where I can tell you that I am leading a rich and vibrant life again, and that life is good. And so you get to the other side, you're never over it because you're always growing with the transition. But you get to a place where you can look at your life and say, life is good. And we'll get there with the pandemic. You know, whatever is going on in your life, if you're open to the growth and the learning, you can get to this place. But that also means that we need to take a step back and find perspective.
Thank you, first of all, for going through the seven steps. And seeing that it is a process, I think one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they go through something like that, be it good or bad, is to jump right into acceptance. In other words, even if it's good, like I got this great new job I want, I should just feel totally chill and like I've got everything put together here the first day or the first week. And like you say, there is an anxiety or a depression that goes with that. And certainly the same is true for people who lose, you know, I got divorced a couple of years ago, et cetera. I mean, you and everyone else around you thinks that accept it. And yet there is a process. It's an ongoing thing. Tell me about your comma full stop analogy. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, that's correct. So this was interesting. I really do believe in practical frameworks. And this was a framework that was given to me kind of inadvertently on the night of my husband's funeral. We held a wake that evening for nearest and dearest friends and family. And at around 10 o'clock that night, people started to leave. And it was at that point that I started to cry. As you can imagine, the first week, I was in such shock that I didn't cry that much. And you are treading a path where people have gone before. You know, there's ritual. There are certain things that have got to happen when you've got to bury somebody or cremate somebody or have a service or whatever. So it's pretty, you know, predictable that first week. But it's what happens after that. The rest of your life starts. And the rest of my life was actually starting on a Sunday because this was a Saturday night. Mm. And as people were leaving, I realized the next day was a Sunday and I had no clue what a Sunday looked like anymore. And that, combined with the fact that I felt like all our hopes, our dreams, you know, as a family were shattered, were gone forever, just made me take that breath and start to sob. And a friend was standing next to me who happened to be a psychologist. And she said, Nix, what's happening for you right now? So to speak to what you were saying just now, one has to acknowledge the feelings that come with change. If you sweep them under the rug, they will just fester and they will become ever more destructive. So I said to her, but this moment just feels like a full stop for me. It feels like the end of everything I know. And she said to me, can I try and encourage you to see if you can turn this full stop into a comma, into a pause in your life, not the end of your life. And then she added one more vital thing. She said, it's a comma and dot, dot, dot. And the dots are the future that you are going to create for yourself. And that was the most empowering thing anybody could have said to me, was that I was responsible for rebuilding my life after it had been absolutely shattered. And I can't say, Will, that the next day I woke up and of course I went, right now, you know, let's turn this full stop into a comma. Right. No, not at all.
I'm glad you owned that, by the way. Yes. We run the risk of being superheroes here.
No, not at all.
Relate, yeah.
In fact, I will tell you something. You know, I'm a real A-type personality. I'm quite competitive with myself more than anything else. And people said to me who had been through this kind of trauma, this is going to take you 18 months to 3 years to process. And in my competitive head, in my cerebral being, I went, you have got to be kidding. That is a death sentence. That's not going to be me. I'm going to sort this out. Chop, chop.
Right.
You know? And it was very interesting because when I got towards the end of the first year of grief, I went, they might be right. I'm nowhere near cooked. And I got to 18 months and I went, I'm still not cooked. And I got to the end of 2 years. And at the end of 2 years, I could breathe. And I was starting to feel like life did not resemble my old life, but that there was this life. And it really was just before the pandemic hit, just over 24 months. And it's interesting, when you grieve, you count months like you do with the birth of a child. You count the child's age in months to the age of two. When you are grieving somebody, you count the months. It's been a year. It's been 12 months. It's been 18 months. It's been 24 months. But from two years, you start saying it was 2 years ago, it was 3 years ago, right. It was 4 years ago. It's the same with a child. You never refer to months again after 24 months. You refer to years or a year and a half. And so people were right. It really has taken, I would say, the best part of 4 years, actually, to really say that I've got a strong handle on my life. And yet, I took 2 months off after my husband's death because it happened at the end of the year. And then people said I got back to work far too quickly and back on the stage. And, you know, how could I cope when I first went back into the media at 3 months? And yet, if you speak to people who are employed by corporates, they only get 3 days of compassionate leave. So
that's amazing. Again, that is an important point. We're allowing yourself, because you and I do the same thing, speaking. A couple of months to grieve, which is, again, very short, but 3 days is what people
what
get.
What do you do in 3 days?
Three days.
Wow. You're dealing with
You're still in shock in 3 days.
You're still in shock at 6 months. So, yeah. You know.
Wow.
But yes, so that comma full stop, I would say it around sort of 6 months started really becoming a reality, but it was the dots. She was charging me with creating my dots, the dot, dot, dot. And that I started doing quite soon. I would say from about 4 months after my husband's death. The dots are made up for me of new people, new places, and new opportunities. And that has meant stepping out of my comfort zone, stepping out of the immediate family, stepping out of the immediate tight circle of friends, and experiencing myself differently. Because what was my challenge? Who is Nikki without Simon, with whom I'd been for 28 years? And you start to see yourself through that person's lens. And I was needing to look into new mirrors to rediscover who I was alone in the world. And that meant actually spending time with people perhaps who hadn't known me for my whole life, who didn't always see me as Simon's widow, who just saw me as Nikki. And that was both the most terrifying and the most exhilarating experience. It's both. And that's the duality of life. And that's the duality that comes with love and loss. And it's being able to hold that ambiguity of life kind of comfortably, even when it feels desperately uncomfortable. And yes, I didn't always push myself out there, but I was very aware of needing to do so. And there was also time when I'd say to people, because people wanted me to not be alone, where I had to say, actually, no, I'm not coming to lunch because I need to sit with this aloneness. This is my reality. Mm-hmm. And aloneness is different to loneliness. And I don't think anyone who has felt aloneness, who hasn't felt aloneness, would know what I was saying. But you may resonate with this. You spoke about having been through a divorce. You know, when you have been out to dinner parties and barbecues and braais, as we call them in South Africa, with a partner for so many years, and suddenly you find yourself driving back alone, and you can't reminisce on the evening and talk about the conversation at the dinner table or how delightful the meal was or whatever. And you just realize there's nobody to create memories with here. I am alone. But there's also this need to be alone and contemplate your new situation. So I guess self-awareness is a really important tool when you're going through a transition. And that includes being able to label your emotions, be honest about your emotions, ask for help, and be clear about where you find yourself. And I could not have got back on the stage or in front of a microphone or a camera again had I not asked for a lot of help for a very long time. And I had a counselor, I had a coach, I still have a coach every 3 to 4 weeks, because human beings are like an onion. We are made up of many, many layers, and every experience that we have in our lives, if we are self-aware and curious about our process, is about a delayering. And as my sister said, and I'm going to use a four-letter word here.
Go for it.
When she found me crying yet again about 4 weeks after my husband's death, she said, "So what is it this time? What has triggered you?" And I told her what it was. And she said, "There's more layers than a fucking onion here." Mm. And she was so right, because just as you think you're through a layer, something else triggers your trauma, and you find there's another layer and another layer and another layer. And even 4 years on, something will trigger you again, whether it's a date, in the calendar year, or whether it's something that you're going through with your children and you don't have the father there with you to celebrate, whatever it is, you know, there will be triggers. Or just a hankering after something, maybe. We do have moments, and it's important to acknowledge those moments as well. But the delayering is fascinating, and I am a student of human behavior. And as painful as my process has been, it has been extremely fascinating for me to watch, almost as an observer of my process. And I guess maybe that's, you know, one of the reasons why I can talk about it and I can package what I've been through to help others. And I've been in a very unique position during the global pandemic to help companies, to help their staff to do the transition and the adaptation of working from home, dealing with disruption, working from home with children. And now I'm being asked to help them with the reverse process. I've just got off the line with one of the major banks in South Africa, and they're saying, "Can you now come back and help us get our workforce back into the office 2 days a week?" And it is as disruptive as it was when they had to go home and work from home.
This has been fascinating. I have so many more things I'd love to ask you, and yet I'm going to have to say goodbye for today. But I do want to let everybody know the web address is www.nikkibush.com. I am going to take in some of your comments real quick. So if you want to make a comment or pose a question for Nikki, that would be absolutely wonderful. And I'm going to quote you here, and that is the sort of the idea is to find collateral beauty and collateral damage. And I think for me, one of the key takeaways today is this concept that we're going to go through 60 major changes, disruptions in our lives, some good, some bad, and that this idea of wanting to control or anticipate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's only a certain amount of that we can do. And it is not, there's a process that we need to go through. So the name of the book, once again, is Future Proof Yourself. Is that correct? I want to make sure I have that right.
That's correct. Here we go. Future Proof Yourself, How to Win at Work and Life. And don't forget, there's the download. There was a download link that I provided for Let Dancing with it. Disruption. If you want to share that in the chat, then our listeners and viewers can get hold of those 7 steps that I've spoken about. and also the collateral damage, collateral beauty exercise, which we haven't got to, but they can go and find out about it in that download.
My apologies, I don't see the download.
I did send it in the show notes.
Show notes, I'm looking at
them. Let me see if I can get hold of it quickly.
How can people get in touch with you? Nikki Bush, visit nikkibush.com. My apologies. Yeah,
so actually, if you just go to free stuff on nikkibush.com, mm-hmm. you will find the Dancing with Disruption free download there.
Wonderful. Free download at nikkibush, www.nikkibush.com. Go to free stuff. Wonderful. All right. So real quick, Therese says it's not like you have a choice, so embrace the ellipsis. Wonderful callback to what Nikki was sharing. Kathy says, powerful information. What an inspiration you are. And thank you for sharing your story. I took a lot of notes and shared. My suggestion is get the book. She and I have the same publisher, Penguin Random House. So I encourage you to get the book. Is the book available on audio? That's how I tend to.
No, it's actually not. Unfortunately, it is not available on audio, but you should pick it up on Amazon. So it
should
be
great.
There. Yeah.
Therese says, it's been 20 years and I still come across new onion layers. It just doesn't go away. Once you recognize that, it becomes easier to deal with. Yeah, just yesterday I was realizing that for me, it's after I get off stage, I would always go call my wife and we would talk about and process it. Now I go back to my hotel room. And so now I'm coming up with new things to do in that to anchor myself in a positive way. Ed says, I've had many life disruptions and at least 5 major life quakes. Again, a wonderful comment concept. I find it becomes easier to navigate. Thanks, Ed. Wonderful. Everybody, thank you for being here. Want to remind you, please, to share, if you would. Make sure you like, comment, and share. That's how we build this positive online community. And whether you are watching this on Facebook Live or you're watching it as a podcast or a YouTube video, I want to thank you all for being here. Be sure and check out NikkiBush.com. One last comment from Leslie Deering. Thank you very much for sharing your story and strength. I use the onion metaphor constantly. My life was turned inside out 3 years ago, and it certainly has taken much longer to cook than either I or my friends and family imagined. I look forward to checking out your book. Same here. Nikki, thank you so much. And as I like to joke, people think that because we're speakers, we probably know each other. No, because I'm there means you're not there and vice versa. But hopefully at some point we'll get to connect in person. And thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Will.
Take good care.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complain-free world, no more, no more complaining people, their lives are changing, we're flying high, creating a complain-free world, no more, no more.